Such an honor to be here. We thank you for coming and being a part of what God is doing today. How many people brought your Bibles or your iPads or your phones? However you read the scripture today. What a blessing. I'd like you to turn with me today to the book of St. John chapter 20. This is Easter Sunday, and it's one of the greatest days. We love the birth of Christ, but the resurrection of Christ does something beyond your mind. Amen. See, the whole doctrine of the resurrection is a doctrine of the body. Did you hear that? Let me just say that again. The whole doctrine of the resurrection is a doctrine of the body. See, before Jesus came, people believed that the spirit rose, or the soul, whatever. But they didn't believe that the body could. So when you think about the resurrection, it's the doctrine of the body. In other words, the Lord don't leave nothing behind, as Pastor said a while ago. It's a doctrine of you. Let me say it again. Before Jesus physically came, people believed in the afterlife. People believed that the spirit would go on and live. But of course, they never could expect anything that a body could be raised from the dead. That's why God gave me that statement for our ministry. Believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible, because it's doable. I've had so many people tell me, I don't understand how you don't get under such stress for the millions and millions of dollars it takes to operate and function this ministry. Well, my Lord, that's nothing compared to raising a body that was dead. You know, Jesus couldn't go to funerals. He messed them up. You invited him to your funeral. You wasn't burying nobody. He said, get up. God said, I never want to be dead anyway. I'm going to go home. Can I get my money back from the funeral home? You know, whatever, you know. Think about that. He believed in life so strong and so great. And it was such a powerful thing to understand. Let me just say that again. I'm going to deal a little bit again. The whole doctrine of the resurrection is a doctrine of the body. Think about that for a minute. See, now that's very perplexing to the mind. We're going to deal with that. Everything that God does is very perplexing to the intellect. In fact, the intellect can't receive any of it. It must be done through the Spirit. Through the Spirit, to a renewed soul, mind, will, and emotion, and a crucified body. Now, the title of my sermon is not a typical resurrection message. Now, I've preached many, many resurrection messages. And I was going to preach a sermon that I preached a few years ago called What a Difference a Day Makes. I mean, the day before, everybody's in depression. Christianity is destroyed. Everything Jesus said, according when he died, didn't work. According to the homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological world. The religious mind couldn't conceive it. Naturally, the secular mind, the secular humanist, definitely couldn't receive it. I have a lot of people that criticize me, said he doesn't give interviews on television. Well, the reason why, because most of the reporters are lost as a goose in the fog. Now, I don't mean that to be critical, but just the Bible said the natural man receive it, not the things of God. So they're going to ask me about some things of God. I can't answer them because they're not dumb. They're just ignorant. Ignorant of spiritual things. You see what I'm saying? Now, I've gone on and I've been interviewed many times on where people were born again. And then we could talk and explain why I believe in prosperity so that they would understand it. Explain why we believe in healing. So they could understand it. Because see, a born again person can understand that because they're receiving it through the Spirit. But a natural person cannot, because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Foolishness unto him. That's why atheists think we're stupid. That's why the secular humanists think that, you know, and I just tell them, I say, you're just ignorant, which makes them mad. See, they think I'm attacking their intelligence. No, you're probably very smart. You're not dumb, but you're just ignorant. Ignorant of spiritual things. Now, and let me just show how ignorant it is. See, people for centuries have tried to put Jesus and Mary Magdalene together as a couple. See, that's the only thing the secular mind can understand. That's the only thing that the secular humanist can understand. That's the only thing that an unregenerate person can understand. But you know, if she said, why was she so close to him? Well, somebody cast 7 devils out of you. Wouldn't you like them? 7 devils, brother. That girl was loaded up, wasn't she? And some of her descendants are maybe here this morning. We don't know. Think about it. 7 devils. Wouldn't you think, my God, you would follow someone like that? Think about that. Because she was totally, completely delivered, set free. My Lord. Because Jesus was a freedom fighter. He came to set people free. I want to read St. John chapter 20,
verse 1. The first day of the week cometh, and I'm reading out of the King James Version. Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she run and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, that's John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. Now I'm going to read a little bit. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Notice this. I wonder why Peter wasn't. You know, since he was the head, the first pope. Maybe like Pope Francis. Might have ate a little too much pasta. Like, can't you leave a man alone for God's sake? Did y'all see that on television? They say he need to cut back because he's eating too much pasta and pizza. I love the Cardinal of New York. He said, Father, Holy Father, I would never give you any advice, but I'll give you this. Get another doctor. I thought that was funny myself. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Notice Jesus was very organized. Everything he does is organized. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So something happened there. He went in, saw, and believed. So is it possible that Peter went in but didn't believe? Because why wouldn't they say that? You see, the difference between John and Peter at this moment, one has moral courage, the other one has physical courage. Peter had physical courage. Look you right in the face and tell you how the cow eat the cabbage, like they say in South Louisiana. But he's a little, he go in that tomb, look around, but because they wasn't expecting to meet him. Because Christianity was done away with right there. It was over. Peter got 7 converts with 4 words. He said, I go a fishing. And 7 of them said, we go with you. It was over. But now this is a new day. Now John goes in and sees this and says, he has risen. I want to keep reading here. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now Jesus had told them that all during his 3 years of ministry, but they didn't quite understand it in the scripture. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. See, she didn't go in. She just stooped down and looked. And see if 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Now here's where I want to get to. Not a typical resurrection message. She, supposing him to be the gardener. This was Joseph of Arimathea's gardener who took care of Joseph's tomb. It's springtime. Things are blooming. You see what I'm saying? He's taking care. You don't take care of a garden in the winter. The soil is resting. But in springtime, you got to go cut, clip, and clean the place out and so that growth can grow without weeds choking it out. She thinks he's a gardener. Why? Because she's not expecting to meet him. Even though Jesus said, you kill this temple, I'll be back in 3 days. Not a typical resurrection message. Everybody Jesus preached to didn't believe he was getting out of that grave. The first one to actually believe that it was John. The disciple in whom God loved. He walked in and he believed. Where was the Holy Mother? faith for a minute. Listen, and they're not being critical now. I just want you to understand. Where was the Holy Mother? You think she'd be with the other Mary? Oh, y'all listening now. Get quiet this place. Woo, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. I'm glad. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God. Where were you? Because she didn't think neither that he would come out. Everybody is sad, including Mary Magdalene. But she was so devoted to Jesus because he cast them demons and set her free that she came out of respect and honor to his sepulcher. How many times Jesus has walked around you and you thought he was a gardener? How many people today that will go to church on Easter Sunday and see a gardener instead of the true Christ? See, because a lot of people know about God, but do you know God? That's the difference. To know him, not just believe in him. Even the devil believes. How many times did the Spirit of God in the form of Christ has walked by people, but they just saw it as a gardener instead of the Son of the living God? Oh, this is going to be good, isn't it? I ain't never heard of this in my life till this morning. The Lord said, this is what you're going to preach. This is the sermon I was going to preach. Hang that up. So I just started writing as fast as I could before I got here. She supposing him to be the gardener saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him or took him, tell me where thou you have laid him and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her. See, you can't get a revelation of God until life speaks. Till your name is called. And he's calling now. Every time you go into church, he is calling your name. He says, Mary. She turned herself. Now watch this. So she was walking away. And saith to him, Rabboni. Now she's still thinking of him as a rabbi. No, he's the resurrection and the life. So you can be so close to Jesus and still not see the power of who he is. She calls him rabbi when she should have said, my God, the Son of God. Rabbi, which is to say master. I want to stop right there and I want you to write this down. We gain spiritual light at the expense of intellectual perplexity. Everything I'm preaching this morning, the secular world thinks is garbage. They think it's foolish. As I said earlier, because the natural man receiveth not the things of God because they foolishness unto him. What evidence can we give them? The best evidence for the resurrection of the Lord is the resurrection of the church. See, we should be just as alive as Jesus was when he came out that tomb. But have we decided to be gardeners? We'll work around the church. We'll even work in the church. But ain't nobody coming out the tomb. But the place looks good. It's beautiful. It's fancy. It's nice. And then after a while, when you become like that, Jesus becomes the gardener. You don't even recognize why you're doing what you're doing. You're doing it out of religiosity. Instead of a resurrection life. People ask me, why are you so happy all the time? I'm alive. And doing well. Christ in me, the hope of glory. My God. That's why I'm not worried about all this stuff that people want me to worry about. Why would I do that?
If he came out of the tomb, and he did, so did I. The difference is I ain't weeping about it. I'm going all over the world shouting about it, which makes people so mad. They're mad at me because I'm happy. Try it. You'll like it. Let me say it again. We gain spiritual light, see, because everything must be learned by the eye of faith, by the spirit of who that's inside of you. We gain spiritual light at the expense of intellectual perplexity. Now, let me get to this. The whole doctrine of the resurrection is the doctrine of the body. Because, you see, even the pharaohs believed that they would still live, but never the body. That's why they mummified the body so that it would not decay. They weren't thinking that body was going to get up. But Jesus had a whole different view. He said, let's freak out the atheists. Let's freak out the other religions. Let's make the resurrection the doctrine of the body. We're going to take the body up. You notice the angels and the young men, you go in all the different things, the gospels, you see that every one of them are young. That tells you when you get to heaven, you're not going to be old no more. You will have a youth look, a light look. There will be no more age. Think about that. It's going to be wonderful. You'll be able to run across the universe without getting out of breath. You can win the Crescent City Classic and beat the Kenyans. Think about that for a minute. The first, they see every angel in the Bible that people see have young looks. Yet they still try to make the father old with a beard. Because they think in terms of time. Time doesn't exist with God. He is. So let me say it again. When these things happen, when you see somebody heal, it's perplexing. Oh, I don't know if they really heal. Because you see, but you gain spiritual light from things that you don't understand. Because you will never get it in your mind. And I'm going to say this, not critically. They say the greatest mind we have today is Stephen Hawking, the theoretical physicist who has that terrible disease, ALS or some stuff, where the only thing that moves on him is this part of his body. He wrote an article not too long that God does not exist at all. Because now we know so much about science that God doesn't exist. As brilliant as that mind, if anybody, Mr. Hawkins, if you're watching this, if anybody needs to believe that God is real, you do. Because he's the only one who can get you out that chair. But you see, it's perplexing. And yet the theoretical physicists, they give us theories that they preach as fact before it's proven. Let me make an announcement. The resurrection has already been proven. It's not a theory. This was not done in a corner, in the dark, back. I mean, people all over the place were seeing Jesus walking around. I mean, that right there ought to make you shout. But an unregenerated mind cannot handle that. They stole his body. What would you do with a dead body? Hold him up, because if you turn him loose, he's going to fall down. Now, there's someone had an inclination that he just might do that, and that was the high priest Caiaphas. He sent some soldiers to guard that tomb. Why do you send an army to guard a dead man? He ain't going nowhere. And they say, so they don't steal the body. Well, even if they stole the body, it still couldn't prove that he rose from the dead, because a dead person can't talk. Caiaphas said, he just might do this. Something was happening in Caiaphas' mind. He was perplexed because no one could understand that a dead body would rise. Now, you should. He raised Lazarus from the dead. You see, even with evidence, the mind goes, I see it, but I don't believe it. Isn't that amazing? So let me say it again. We gain spiritual light at the expense of intellectual perplexity.
Religious light is created in the darkness of intellectual activity, reason, and research. Why? How does that happen? How does people not believe in God, or not believe in the resurrection, not believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Religious light is created in the darkness of intellectual activity, reason, and research. They say it's all induction and reason, range, and research. They don't know for sure. Do you know now what we call black holes? Now we know they're real. But years ago, they called them black planets. They didn't know. You see, as they begin to know more, they think, and they said, that can't be. They got us believing something called dark matter and dark energy. We know it's there, but we don't know what it is. Would you gamble on that? Would you put your money up on that? Think about it for a minute. Now, do I believe there's dark matter? Do I believe there's dark energy? Yeah, I believe that. That's not the issue. But it didn't need to be proven. Why? See, they can't see it, but I can. How can you? What do you think's holding the galaxy together? They'd be slung all over the place. Everything is done around orbits. That's how Kathy got me. She orbited me for a while. Till she closed in for the kill. Orbits. What does the sun orbit around? The black hole that's in the middle of the Milky Way. All of it's doing it. See, we know it's there, but we can't prove it. Now watch this. But they expect you to believe what they say. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't do it in the back door with the doors closed in the corner in the dark. My God, he done it in front of everybody. Knocked down a bunch of military men. They paid them to shut their mouths. Over 500 people heard his last message he preached as he ascended into heaven. This is historical. This is not theory. And yet, range and research, induction and reasoning, religious intellect can't seem to grasp it. Let me say it again. Religious light is created in the darkness of intellectual activity, reason and research. See, the resurrection shows us that death is only an event in life, not the closing of it. It's only an event. In other words, the greatest miracle that will ever happen to you is still yet to come. You may have been healed of cancer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when you come out of that grave, that's going to be the greatest miracle your body has ever, ever felt. You shall be changed. People are going to know you, but you're not going to look like you look now. Because you see, when Jesus rose, she didn't recognize him. Why? Because unbelief blinds you to the power of God. She was not expecting to meet him. So he's a gardener. And I'm going to get on that in just a minute. He was a gardener. Everything started out in the garden. We're going to deal with that in a few minutes. This is going to help Nate because he likes to plant stuff. So the resurrection or death is only an event in life, not the closing of it. It's just an event. My mother went home to be with the Lord on Easter Sunday, 1982. I know where she's buried, but that's going to be an empty tomb. Amen. Oh, yes, indeed. Well, what about it all plastered up and it's in concrete? That don't mean nothing, Jesus. All those men that went down on the Arizona on December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy. They knew the Lord. Their bodies have dissolved being in water. That's 40-foot water right there. But like Pastor said, the least little DNA, I want to tell you something, when God's going to call, they're coming out of there. I've been to Pearl Harbor many times. And it's a shrine to the bravery of our military people. I've been in the Pacific Theater where they buried men that never came back home. I've been in the Punch Bowl where there were thousands and thousands of graves. Me and Kathy walk. I have to honor people who I didn't even know who died before I was born. I was born July the 9th, 1949. And that happened in 1941. They never came back. So when I get a chance, if I'm going overseas somewhere, I always give my respects to those who went before me. But how many times I've stood there, and I never told Kathy, I said, I wonder how many holes are going to be opened up when this thing kicks, buddy. I hope there are atheists standing by a graveyard when it happens. Amen. They're going to think it's World War Z or something. They're going to think science. Is that right? The name of that movie? I can't do something. Good God. It's going to be a great day. And here's the evidence of it. We're celebrating this now, Easter Sunday. And God is saying is, nothing can stop me from raising your body. Your spirit is with me, but we're going to connect together. So think about it. So think about that, Pastor. In your new body, you're going to be able to wear that suit you couldn't put on this morning. If that's what you want, praise God. I don't want to wear mine. I want one as tall as Marty. I want people to say, he grew in heaven. I want to be tall once in my life. You're going to be able to notice me. I'm going to be the tallest man on the block. You'll notice, Pastor, he'll have more hair than you ever seen in your life. Long, beautiful hair. Why? Because everybody wants something they don't have. But you have the power of resurrection in you because of what Christ did. Now, write this down. Mankind began his earthly career in the garden. So if you really think about it, Jesus is a gardener. What does a gardener do? He makes life come out. He takes away the old things. He clips and prunes, he or she. You go read St. John 15, it's amazing how God clips it so you can produce more fruit. Not just some fruit, but more fruit. You see, so it started in a garden. See, God loves flowers and gardens. We are his plants that he sowed into this planet. That's why sometimes we get clipped. It's not that God's making us feel bad, so we can grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. It's amazing when we have people that take care of our yard, when they come and change the winter stuff to the spring and summer stuff. And it's amazing, man. And I almost tell them, don't take it, because the winter stuff is still full until heat hits it. Boom, and it starts. They pull it away, and they start off with just little bitty flowers about this big. I told Kathy, can't we buy some bigger ones? Tell them to give me some big ones. Give me some red ones. I don't know what they are. Give me some angry panthers. Is that what they call them? Agapanthers, whatever you call them. I don't know. Angry panther. I don't know the name of that stuff. I want some big ones. And you know what? They said, oh, they will get big. Just water them. Ah! Oh! That's what you put that watering system in your yard for. All of a sudden, them little flowers just begin to do this. It's amazing to watch it do this. And it begins to grow. Why? It's being fed. That's why we ask you to come to this church. Not so we can count you as a, member. But there are too many Holocaust victims in churches. They're all skinny because they're not being fed. Amen. That's good. Amen. How do I know that? Travel with me. Travel with me. You'll see what I'm talking about. You know, Christians have been saved 40 years, are on the verge of spiritual death. Hadn't been fed one time, but have become religionized, if that's such a word. If not, I'll coin it. See, they don't have a gardener. Jesus said, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. I had a man ask me not long ago, he said, I can't get over how children love you. I said, well, I act like God. He was offended. What do you mean you act like God? I said, well, Jesus said, permit the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Children ran up to him. Why shouldn't children run up to me? How come children don't run up to you? Because you're not acting like God.
See, children are innocence and purity. It's amazing, you know, what they do. And they can spot wrong quicker than most adults. They sense it because purity and innocence is very sensitive to anything else that's evil. Mankind began his earthly career in a garden. Now watch this. See, now we all in the garden. Some flowers in the garden have confused the ordinary gardener. See, the ordinary gardener is a person that may be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But really, even though he's in the he or she is in the executive branch of God's government, what they have is a job. They do their job, and then they're out the door. That's the ordinary gardener. Most people today don't know much about healing. If you get sick, well, hang on. If you're broke, busted, and disgusted, well, bless God, Jesus was poor, which is contradictory to the word of the Lord God Almighty. Jesus helped the poor. He became poor that you might become rich. That blows their socks off. What do you mean by poor? Well, no, he wasn't on welfare. You know, you got to have some kind of substance to feed 5,000 people with a 2-piece fish dinner. When the last time the homeless did that? When the New Orleans mission guy feed everybody in the church? Huh? So they wasn't poor. But you see, they're perplexed because they understand poverty, because the world understands curse. They don't understand freedom. They can't get over it. They don't. You can't be that free. Yes, you can. Let me help all of you people. You can live as long as you want. It's not according to God. That's what the church world tells you. That's what the secular world tells you. It's according to your tongue. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. Not your cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, DNA, family, whatever. I don't deny all that, but just change it. See, so a lot of times, the ordinary gardener doesn't like the flowers that are in his church. That's called church problems. I never heard in the garden where Jesus was where God was grabbing flowers and throwing them out the garden. He threw out the gardener. Get your butt out of here. Sin dug every grave you will ever see in your life. Do you realize how much real estate we would have if we didn't have cemeteries? Some of the prettiest real estate in the world is in cemeteries. They were not supposed to be. Sin dug those things. Every grave you ever see. When man sinned, the grave business came into existence. Some flowers in the garden have confused the ordinary gardener. Some are covered with prickles and wound the hands that would help them. There are some gardeners that God has placed in there. You try to help. But see, you've been so brutalized sometimes that you develop prickles and thorns. I've heard some black people in this church that they've been persecuted because they've been told, you go to that white church? We don't have a white church. We got a gold church. Ladies and gentlemen, this is real. This is real gold. You understand what I'm saying? That's real gold. We're real white church. We don't know what color you are. Some of my spiritual sons are black men, and some people come in, is that your white daddy? I say, I apologize for them. And sometimes people, I'll be standing with one of my black sons, my spiritual son, and they'll say, how's he related to you? I said, he my son. They go, what is wrong? You see, religious perplexity. You see, they don't understand the resurrection because they don't expect to meet Jesus alive in church. Just like Mary Magdalene. So when he does walk up, you can't recognize him because you're not looking through with the eyes of light. It's not your fault. Because you hadn't been fed so you can have good vision. That's why we ask people to come to this church. Not so we can count you and get your money and all that stupid stuff. See, that's religious perplexity. That's all that is. I don't know about other ministers in this area, but I am living like I'm living in heaven. I'm in the environment of heaven, brother. Glory to God. I got a pretty wife, pretty daughter, pretty granddaughter. I got a halfway pretty son-in-law. There he is right there. No. I give Jay a hard time. He's good looking too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, I got a beautiful home. I got a nice car. I got a nice truck. If you want to talk about like that, I'm living just, if heaven came right now, it would be just Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesse. And I'm criticized for that. All I'm doing is being scriptural. His will be done where? 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 As it is where? I had a man not long ago coming to me and say, I don't like you. I said, if you knew me, you'd love me. He looked at me like I done lost my mind. I said, I know me. I love me. I love what God created. When will you love what God created? Instead of calling it arrogance, cockiness. Oh, why don't you say, I love myself because I'm created in the image of God. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. I am what God says I am, no matter what anybody else says I am. See, I'm in the garden. The Lord walks with me in the cool of the day. Oh, my God. I enjoy his presence. When you meet the master gardener, you cannot be in better hands. Why? Because he will make the best of you. I let the Lord guide me and direct me. Kathy went to her mother's house yesterday. I decided to stay home. So her and Meredith, they went to Kathy's mama, and they were cooking. I was doing something like that. I just stayed home and I watched an old movie called Barabbas with Anthony Quinn. You see, he in the movie, and I thought, I was looking at that, he couldn't understand. He said, I wish God would make himself more plain. You might have seen the movie, you know. God was totally plain. But he was thinking with, quote, actually a religious mind. He actually said some things to Pontius Pilate that Pilate didn't like. He said, me and you are the same. Difference is, you just got the power. He said, I don't know if I can believe in God. Then how come the person you don't believe in has disturbed your whole life? See, you don't realize that you do believe him. But the problem is you're expecting not to meet him. The reason why people don't get healed, they're expecting not to be healed. They know God heals, but will he heal me? Their expectation is not where it should be. Think about that. Even though the tomb was empty. Even though you just talked to two angels. How much more evidence you need? Go to Doubting Thomas. Why are you calling him Doubting? God made one mistake. Been nailed for centuries. He's the only one of the 12 that when Jesus went to Jerusalem said, let's go die with him. He was willing to die, but he didn't want to talk about that. He said, until I put my hand in his side and my fingers in his nail print. And Jesus said, well, come on, Thomas. No, come on, Thomas. You know the great work that St. Thomas did for the gospel? No, you don't. Because you don't expect he did anything. All you see of Thomas is, that sucker was doubting. It's amazing how a mistake can define your life. We give wonderful advice to young preachers. For some reason, and I don't mean this in an arrogant, they get enamored by me sometimes. I don't particularly like that because, I've had some people say, he's like a rock star. People standing out there, screaming. That really is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. One lady said, is your teeth real? I wish I had false teeth. I would have took them out and said, what do you think? But I did. People are crazy. People are crazy. I can't believe this. I don't get it. Now, to some people, that turns their head and makes they get the big head, like we say in South Louisiana. That,
that really is embarrassing to me. I said, well, no, that's fine. Thank you. Then you get some of them that makes you think after they leave. Are you Jesse the Planus? I said, yes. I thought so. And that's it. They just walk off. It reminds me of a statement in Texas. Tell you what. What? And they don't tell you what. They just say, tell you what. And I'm waiting. Because they're not expecting to give an answer. How many of you have given tithe and offering, not expecting to receive an open-winded heaven? But when you have the master gardener's hands on you, it's like one man asked me one time, what if you lost everything, Brother Jeff, what would you do? Start over. Start over. He can't take what's inside of me. Now, they might be able to take the house or the car, the clothes, shoes, whatever, all that kind of stuff. But I've already used it. A man told me this 2 days ago. You are such a blessed man. I said, yes. Isn't this wonderful? I could see it was aggravating me. I said, yes, I am. I wanted to say, did the Lord tell you to give me something? But I didn't. I would never say that, you know. Because there's some preachers say, the Lord, I'm believing for a phone just like that, Sean. And we don't do those things. We're not that kind of person at all. He just can't get over that. Why? I said, because I'm a giver. Why does everybody love you? I said, I'm lovable. If you blow it, you tell them the truth, they get mad about it. Why do you need that kind of house? Why do you need your house? How much money you make? How much you make? Why do you invest your money? In the gospel. No, no. Why do you invest your money? In the gospel. No, no. Why do you invest your money? In the gospel, you idiot. They can't get over it. It's the best return ever. When a bank pays you 36 and 100 fold. How many times you can get 1,000 times on something? Resurrection life. But Jesse, you're afraid to die? Never have died. Why would I be afraid of something that I have not done? I cross that bridge when I get there. I remember my dad being afraid to die. Remember that? Oh God, he had a fear of it. My father. He was my age then. He was 65. Longer. He always afraid. But when he got in his 80s, he said, it's time for me to get out of here. Well, he done married three women. That just wore him out. He just beat his brain. Wore him out. He married my mama. Man, then he married Esther. Was with her 20 years. She died. Then he married. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was a sinner. Oh, yeah. I come from a heathen family. My daddy got his girlfriend pregnant. She was 14. He was 15. So I have, she's in heaven now. I have a half sister, Helen. We come from a heathen family. Boy, if they did a background on us, whoo, Lord, we'd have a reality show. My mother was married at 12. Oh, y'all didn't know that? And divorced at 14. She wasn't pregnant. He just had enough of my grandpa. She looked 18 years old. If you ever come to my house, you see a picture of her in her first wedding gown. She looked 18, 20 years old. She took care of the house at 9. Wow. Grandpa pulled out of school. My mother could clean a house at 9 and cook. That was another generation back then. To help the family. She married a man named Fritz. Big, tall guy. My daddy was very short. I said, boy, mama, you went down a little bit, didn't you? Boy, dad, get mad. Oh, he get mad. I'll tell you something. He really loved my mama, this first guy. I never met him. I heard about him all my life. He passed away. He married and passed. Let me show you something. He passed away and he had several children, his wife, and a lawyer come knocking on our house door. I was 17, 18 years old. Are you, is your maiden name Velma Agnes Este from the West Bank of New Orleans? My mother said, yes. Did you marry Fritz? I don't even know his last name. I can't remember now. Yes. He said, ma'am, I need to talk to you. I am the executor of his will. He was a very wealthy man. He left everything to my mama. Now, that's got to be a slap in the face. Here you got children, and you're married to another woman, 30-something, 40-something, yeah, or what it was, and he left them nothing. I said, how much did he leave? I was a heathen myself. 70. It was millions. I thought, oh, Lord. My mother said, we can't take that. That's wrong. I said, we've been doing wrong all our life. Let's do it some more. Well, man, she said, I want a meeting with his wife and his children. Amen. Man, I went with mama. I was crying. Don't do this, mama. If you take the money, we'll get out the trailer. This is a true story. She met his wife, grown kids, sat down. She says, I apologize for your daddy because he's a fool. I said, he's a rich fool, mama. She said, sir, I want to sign a paper saying I'll not accept any of this, that this goes to his wife and to his children. It was a dark day in my life. My mama dug a grave. I thought, right there, Lord. Of course, the people didn't know, and there was nothing they could do about it. If mama wouldn't have kept the money, she could have kept it. She didn't take it. I said, mama, he must have really loved you. She said he did, but he was abusive. I said, mama, you sure you wasn't pregnant? I said, you can tell me. I won't tell nobody. She said, no, I wasn't pregnant. She said, I married him to get away from grandpa. I said, well, I thought he was a nice guy. He was. He just was a little brutal himself. She said, but that's family secrets that you don't need to know about. And they kept him all the way to the grave. That's some stuff I'm still trying to figure out. I got one aunt left. And she's tight-lipped. She said, I want to know some things. But she goes, that family. I said, I'm in the family. I want to know. She wasn't expecting to meet him, but when she did, she proclaimed, became the first evangelist to ever proclaim the gospel after the resurrection. This lady called Mary Magdalene. She ran down that road, brother. He's alive. He's alive. That's why I believe women can preach. That's why I believe women have great courage. I really do. I believe that. That's why when Kathy told me she's going to preach the gospel, I said, good, let's go. Let's do this thing. That's fine with me. She said, I'm not like you, Jesse. People expect me to be like you. I said, you're not supposed to be. You Mary Magdalene and I'm Peter and John. Now, you didn't have no devils in you, but close. No. Kathy was a very sweet girl. She was. But this spirit of menopause came upon the woman. No. And her sister sitting right by her too. Look, Ricky used to weigh 200 pounds. Look at him now. Beat slapped to pieces. I better keep going here. Glory to God. What does Easter mean to you? Let me say this in close. Easter means that goodness is stronger than evil. Truth is stronger than falsehood. And that love triumphs over hatred. See, the resurrection was a revolution. A new world order took over. Spirit, soul, and body. A revolution. A new power came into existence. So who did you come to meet today? A gardener or the King of Kings? That's why we tell people to come to this church. Not so we can count you. We study the scripture. We believe for revelation so it can work for you on a daily basis instead of a Sunday basis. We will get everybody that members at Covenant Church debt free if they listen to us. We will not falter and we will not fail on that mission. We don't care how much money you owe. We're believing for the unbelievable so you can receive the impossible because it's simply doable. I tell you what. We'll get hair on your head if you don't have any. One day y'all ain't gonna even recognize Pastor. He gonna look like Led Zeppelin. Boy, the head is that of a hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Judah. Really? No, I'm praying. I'm telling you, we believe the most unbelievable things because it's here. Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, he did. So will you. When you got born again, you rose in your spirit, but your body still has the claims on it that needs to be rectified. God don't care about you being buried at sea or buried in a tomb. Watch this. Or even cremated. One lady called me and she said, is that all right? Is cremation a sin? I said, no. A lot of people say it is. The Jews didn't cremate. They buried a whole body. But it didn't make no... See, God started with dust. He didn't start with a skeleton. He didn't start with a skull. Or an arm bone or a leg bone. So that's no problem for him. I know you can't understand that because you believe in evolution. You got to come from the sea, from an amoeba. And I don't doubt some of that may have happened because see, during this revolution when there was a war in heaven, Satan messed up a lot of stuff in creation. You want something that you want to think I'm crazy? I personally believe every planet in our solar system was completely inhabited with the creation of God before that war and that fall between. When Lucifer said, I will exalt myself above the Most High God. He wasn't in heaven when he sinned. Did you know that? Everybody thought he was. No, he said, I will ascend into heaven. He was on the earth. Now, who was he reigning and ruling? Huh? I think if we could excavate the bottoms of the oceans, we would find something that would blow the evolutionist mind. But you know how the church believes in evolution? They're evolving into sin. Instead of evolving into holiness. You see what I'm saying? We need to evolve into holiness. I believe God created us. But I also understand that he made the body wonderfully made. Do you know if you live in a colder climate, you'll get more hair? That's right. That's a fact. Your body's trying to help itself. So you can have some more warmth. It's amazing how some people... That's why the Kenyans win the Crescent City Classic. They run up mountains. Their leg is as big as my arm. Why? They're running up mountains. So they come down here. When they take a breath of oxygen, this is below sea level. Man, they one gulp of air, they can run a mile on it. Well, you sucking wind. But they've been up high, running them high mountain, man. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm glad for them. They win. That's a blessing of the Lord. That's fine. I've had so many people say, why don't you run the Crescent City Classic? No. I mean, I can run it. That's a 10K. That's nothing. I don't mean that prideful. I can do that with my eyes closed. I do 17 miles a week as it is now. You see what I'm saying? I don't do that. I don't know. I just don't want to do that. Why? Because I just don't want to. Why? Because I know who's going to win. Kenyans. So when I got born again, I said, I will go to church and I will meet the master gardener. All my life. I will live for him and decree and declare his goodness and his graciousness for me. That's why I make no excuses for the blessings of God in my life financially. I make no excuses for the blessing of God in my body and healing. I mean, I'm 65 years old and most of my staff can't stay up with me. I'm not bragging about that. Why? Going to war and preach the gospel. We got to do it. We got to suck it up. The head of our production distribution is Fritz Brown. He lives on the West Bank. Make a long story short. I always take him overseas with me because Fritz can work. But he's my oldest employee in terms of years working for us. 31 years, I think. Roy, how long have you been with me? 20?
22.
22 years. Okay. Watch this. So I bring him with me. I fly him over there. He don't get much sleep. I said, we hit the ground running. You understand? I'm talking running. So we picked him up. We were about 4 days into the meeting. Now, we were preaching our guts out, running all over. Just, you know, sleeping maybe 2 hours a night, 2.5, 3 hours. Boom, gone, gone. Well, finally, he's in the van, and he falls asleep, going to the hotel. I said, Fritz, suck it up. Come on, Fritz. And that time we'd go to sleep, boy, people dying going to hell. Suck it up. Okay, boss, I got it. I got it, boss, I got it. I got it. I'm sucking it up. I'm sucking it up. I said, suck it up. We did eight or nine straight days. But I'm preaching my guts out. I'm preaching 2 and 3 times a day, going at it. And the last night, closed that meeting out. I said, glory to God. I sat in that car, that van. Now I was sitting in the front seat. Now, when you're in Europe, they drive on the wrong side of the road. They say we do, but well, whatever. I do this. I go, I put my head down like, and I heard this voice. Suck it up, boss. Suck it up, boss. You got to suck it up, boss. Suck it up. I said, I'm sucking it up. I'm tired sucking it up. I said, we ain't let them all go to hell. We ain't preaching no more. What did Fritz need? What did Jesse need? Resurrection life. We came back from Hawaii and California preaching my guts out. I mean, I'm preaching, going crazy. We're flying back and those time changes knock your socks off, you know. As soon as I get here, I got to go to New York. I get here, Kathy's supposed to come with me to New York. She said, Jesse, I ain't going to New York. She said, I'm so tired. I said, what? She said, I'm so tired. I said, you didn't preach one time. You shopped and laid on the beach. Oh, about a pool. You can't go to New York. The Lord called you to go forth. I said, that's all right, Kathy. She said, suck it up. I said, okay, I'm going to suck it up. So I went to New York. That's what I've been doing, Linda, just preaching. Glory to God. Sometime I complain. I said, look at me, Jesus. Look at me, Jesus. I had brown hair when I first went to work for you. He said, you want brown hair again? Yeah. He said, dye it. No, it's a joke. Just a joke. He didn't say that. Just a joke. Just thought I'd say that. Kind of wake you up a little bit. I tried it. I did dye my hair one time. Came out blue. I looked like a grandma with blue hair. It was sad. If you're a Christian, they attribute this as wisdom. If you're young, they attribute it as death. I had a 3-year-old kid tell me at McDonald's one time, he just looked at me. Looked at my hand and said, when you get old, you die. I said, okay. When you get old, you die. I wanted to say, when you're 3 years old, we're going to kill you too. One more story and I'll close. Resurrection. I had a good friend of mine, still a good friend. I hadn't seen him in quite a while. His name is Don Williams from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Don and Eileen Williams. Can't find no finer people. Sweet people. He had 2 girls. Wonderful girls. He helped me at the very beginning of my ministry. Remember that guy? When I started out, he said, Jesse, he's from the East Bank of New Orleans. He pastored a church for many years in Donelsonville. We call him Don Williams from Donelsonville. Well, he went to Baton Rouge about, I guess, 20 years ago, maybe longer than that. But he had a little girl. Now they grown, got their own children. This is 36 years ago. And I used to wear those oil field, during the day, those oil field jumpsuits. Remember them things? They ain't very pretty, but I mean, they're real comfortable and all that kind of stuff. So I had Kathy buy me a few of them things. And sometimes the snap would be about right here. And sometimes I'd forget the snap. That's crazy. They had a zipper, but forget the snap. And I got hair on my chest. Well, his little daughter saw that hair. She went. She just jumped up in my lap. She must have been 2 years old, I guess. I don't know, something like that. And she just touching my hair. She was just astonished. I said, Eileen, what's wrong? She says, she's never seen that. Don don't have a hair on his body. He don't have a hair on his chest. I said, and it was amazing. Every time I'd go, she'd go. I don't know how that ever gets into this message. I just thought of it. No, let me fix it. Isn't it nice to laugh? Some of y'all are Baptists. You want to laugh so bad, you're going. Just go ahead. That's all right. Some of y'all Catholic, make the sign of the cross if it's blowing your socks off. She grew up. Got children. I said, do you remember that? She said, you know, Brother Jesse, I remember that. I said, why did you do that? She says, I just never seen that before. See, some of you have never seen the real gardener before. It's truly amazing to know the Lord. Did you enjoy it today? Yes. Give Jesus a hand. Not a typical resurrection message.